So one of the things, Philip, can you just put the memory verse up, please? One of the things we're going to do, if I remember to say this a number of times, this is verse is something that a king said, one of the two kings, not Nebuchadnezzar, but Darius said, after God rescued Daniel in one of the stories. The king realized that God was the rescuer, not him. Okay? The king tried to save Daniel, but he couldn't. But the king saw God save Daniel. And this is what he says to Daniel at the end of the rescue. He said, your God, he is a savior and rescuer. He performs astonishing miracles in heaven and on earth. That's from Daniel chapter 6, verse 27. And that's our key thought for today. God is a savior and a rescuer. He performs astonishing miracles in heaven and on earth. So let me read to you part of the story, the start of the story, in the story of Daniel. So it's Daniel chapter 1. You may find it helpful to have the book open in front of you, the Bible open in front of you. The words that are on the screen are a slightly different version from what's in the seats, and that's because this is just a little bit easier on the ear as we read to the boys and girls especially. So hopefully you'll find this helpful. It's Daniel chapter 1. I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 7. And it's really just the start of the story. It may be this is very familiar to you, but just receive God's word to us. So in an attempt, in God's wisdom, he's going to teach his people who have for generations loved other gods and served other gods. He's going to teach them by sending them away to another country that actually only he is God. And this is part of the story that we join. So it's Daniel chapter 1, verse 1. If you're looking for a page number, I haven't got it here. Apologies. Can we have a page number from someone?
737.
I'm repeating Don's words, but you heard every number from Don's voice, didn't you? Let me read God's word to you. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and nobility. Young men, without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter the king's service. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names: to Daniel, the name Belteshazzar; to Hananiah, Shadrach; to Mishael, Meshach; and to Azariah, Abednego. One of the things we need to know about the kings of the day, Nebuchadnezzar in the first part of the story, is that these kings were used to getting what they wanted. What they wanted, they usually got. And this king, Nebuchadnezzar, wanted the best people from Israel. God was sending him his way anyway. But he wanted the best people from Israel, royal family, nobility, the people who were important and powerful and clever. He wanted them to serve him. And so he gets them, and four of them are named. Do you see the names, boys and girls? You see the names? Daniel is one of them. Any Daniels? Into hands over here, Daniel. One, two, three, four. Way over there, thank you. Four Daniels. Another one is called Hananiah. Any Hananiah? No. Strange names: Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Those four names were based on God's name. That's what God's people did. They gave names to their children that told each other something about their God. And so when the chief official changes their names, Daniel's the Belteshazzar, the chief official is changing, he thinks, who they are. He's changing their names, not from the God of Israel's name, but to the gods that they worship. Okay? So he's basically saying, you four, who once belonged to God, you now belong to us. Okay? But what he doesn't realize yet is that these four, while they live far from home, they will always live for God. Okay, we're going to see that lived out. These four live far from home, but always live for God. And as they're trained, they become smarter and cleverer. And the king sees that. And in the end, the four of them come to really high positions, particularly Daniel. Daniel's got a really special gift. Does anybody know what Daniel's special gift is? They're all clever. They're all smart. They can all rule the country for the king. They're all handsome. But Daniel's got a special gift. Does anybody know what Daniel's special gift is? Anybody under the age of 13 know what Daniel's special gift is? Anybody over the age of 13 know Daniel's gift? Interpreting dreams. He can understand dreams. Now, today we have God's Bible, okay, God's Word, the Bible, and God speaks to us through that. But in the Old Testament, God spoke to all sorts of people in all sorts of ways, and often he would use dreams. And Daniel could understand them. That's a really important part. Because later on, we're going to look at two different dreams. One that Daniel has and one that the king has. And Daniel's going to explain those. So I'm going to tell you now about the first rescue. So we've met the four friends. I'm going to call them Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, simply because actually those are the names that we recognize the most. Okay, but I'm going to talk to you now about one of the rescues that God made for them. And I think I need four helpers. Anybody want to give me a hand? Come on in. One. Anybody? You'll be holding coins. Come on in. Come on, Daniel. Come on, Reuben. Come on, Daniel. I've got two Daniels. Two Daniels on the stage already. Fantastic. Right, okay. Now then, I want you, I'm not going to make you rich yet. There you go. 2p, 2p, 2p. Hang on. Okay, it'll come. Okay, now then, into this bottle you're going to put the 2p's. Anytime. How many 2p's are in this bottle? Three. You sure? Do you want to count them? There's still three. Okay. Daniel, your job is to give this bottle a big shake. Okay? Can you shake it really loudly? And stop. How many coins are in that bottle? And okay, right, tell them how I've done it. Tell them how I've done it.
He stuck the coin under the lid, then when he struck it really hard, it fell off.
Very good, okay. Very good. If you didn't hear that, they've caught me out, okay? The coin was stuck on the lid, okay? All right. But look, there's four coins in there, and the fourth coin is?
£1.
It's a pound coin. It's not. I know, still got sellotape. There you go. Sometimes it just doesn't work. Be careful who I choose for volunteers next time, aren't I? Yeah? There were three, and there were four, and the fourth is different, isn't it? Thank you for your help. Go and sit down, because this part of the story, something like that happens to the king. This king, the first king of the two, is called Nebuchadnezzar, okay? And he does something really strange. Do you remember I said to you, people were worshiping all sorts of gods all over the place? Well, he decides, I'm going to make people worship the God that I create. How does that work? Well, how it worked was this. He made something that was roughly that size, okay? From here to here. That's not particularly big, is it? Okay? But it was massive. Okay, it went up and up and up and up. And what he did was he put it where it was really, really flat, okay, on a place called the Plains of Dura. Really flat, there were no hills. So as you looked across and looked across and looked across, you could see this massive image standing. And it was made of gold. So in the sunlight, what do you think it would look like? It would shine and reflect the sun. So not just be big, but it'd be bright. Okay, in other words, you couldn't miss it. That was the idea. And his rule was this. He gets all, let's pretend you're important, okay? He gets all the important people of the kingdom together, okay? All the officials who were in the area at the time. Daniel's not here, so we think he's away doing business somewhere else, but the three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, are. But they're not the only ones. There are probably hundreds of them. And the king says, when I play, or when the music gets played, there's lots of instruments, massive noise of instruments. You will all get down and worship this idol, big and bright. Do you remember what I said about the four friends? They lived far from home, but they lived for God. There is no way they're bowing down. They have learned what their father and grandfather and great-grandfather never learned. That it's only right to worship God. They've learned it. So I want you to help me for a little second. Can you all stand up, please? Okay? Those of you who can, please stand. And the king says, right, when the music plays, everybody get down. Okay? There you go. Everybody get down, please. And look, without any prompting, thank you. One, two, three. See, if you were looking round, you would see them. They stand out like a sore thumb. Because everybody's down apart from them. Well, there were people who were beside them. Probably, you can sit down now, you can relax, thank you. Their friends might have said, "Oi, what are you doing? Down you get." Because the king had also said, if you don't bow down, there's a pit that's full of fire, and you're going in, and you're never coming out. If you don't bow down to this and worship this that I've made, that's what will happen. So maybe their friend said to them, "What are you doing? Get down. Didn't you hear what he said about the pit full of fire?" But they stood still. They didn't bow down, because they weren't going to worship something that wasn't God. This thing didn't make the world. This thing didn't make promises to Abraham. This didn't rescue his people from Israel. God does that. And they knew that. So someone in the crowd went to the king. King, I need to tell you something. When the music started and everybody went down, not everybody went down. There were three men who stood still. What? King was mad. That ever happened in school? Teacher gets angry. Doesn't get what they want. What? Calls the three in. Right. Because he's not happy. I'm going to give you one more chance. The music's going to play and you are going to get down and worship this. And if you don't, it's a pit full of fire for you. Do you know what? He never got to play the music. This is what they said to him. They said, our God can rescue us. Because the king had said to them, if I threw you in the pit of fire, who's going to rescue you from my hand? And what they're saying is, our God can rescue us. You might throw us in there, but our God can save us. And he'll rescue us from you. But even if he doesn't rescue us from that pit of fire, we're not bowing down to worship this. So the king forgets the music. He gets even madder. He ties them up so they can't freely move their hands. Ties them up like that. And he throws them into a pit of fire that he's made 7 times hotter than it normally is. It was so hot that when the men who threw them into the pit of fire got close to the heat killed them. That's how hot it was. That's how mad the king was. And then something like this happened. They put 3 men in, but there was 4 men in the fire. Okay? And it wasn't a trick. Okay? It wasn't a silly trick. Because Nebuchadnezzar looked in and he could see the tied up men free. They weren't tied up anymore. He could see the 3 men, now 4. And he could see them in the fire, but they were safe. The 4th man was different. Nebuchadnezzar said, he looks as if he's the son of a god. He looks like a person, but he's not a person. He looks better than a person. He has no idea what's happening. So he gets them out. And they look them over. This pit of fire, seven times hotter. They bring them out. Only three come out. Clothes untouched by fire. Their hair unsinged. Not even the smell of the fire has touched them. And Nebuchadnezzar realizes that there's someone in the universe who's bigger than he is. And he starts to talk about their God, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's gods, in a way that he's talked about no other God before. And he tells the nation to respect their God. And actually, do you know what he does? He gives them a big promotion. He gives them a more important job than they had already, because he thinks, these are the guys. If that God who saved them from that fire is on their side, I want that God working in my kingdom. So I want them winning high. So he gives them high positions, so that his nation will be blessed by their God. Nebuchadnezzar could see that memory verse again, that he is a savior and a rescuer, and he performs miracles in heaven and on earth. Boys and girls, I think you've probably heard that story before. But you know what? Whenever there's a rescue story in the Bible, it's a reminder that the whole story of the Bible is a rescue story. God rescues his people. And he kept his people safe then, and he keeps his people safe today. Even though some of them go through really tough times. One of the reasons that only God should be worshipped is that only God is big enough and wise enough to hold us in his hands, to hold everybody in his hands. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego learnt that on that day. Now then, if you want to use Creche is available from now, please feel free to use that. I'm going to ask Ben to come up. There's an event coming up in a few weeks. He's going to tell us about it. Thank you, Ben.
Good morning. Jam roly poly. Chocolate fudge cake. Strawberry pavlova. Sticky toffee pudding. Fresh fruit salad. Come on, help me out here. I've got to fresh fruit salad. What was that? Trifle. Anything else? Pavlova. Chocolate bar. Okay. Brilliant. Your name's down. On Saturday the 22nd of Feb, which was 4 weeks yesterday, it's the Saturday at the end of half term. It's bring a friends and family to a quiz night. But it's not just bring friends and family, it's bring a pudding. If you're concerned that it might be something that you don't like or you're intolerant to, there's no excuse, just bring something that you like and you're not intolerant to and you have a pudding. So, our strap line for the night is, don't just bring a friend, bring a... Okay. So, whoever you feel you would benefit from coming at 6:30, so have your main course at home, make sure your plate is clean, because when your plate is clean, you then can have pudding, can't you? So, come and have your pudding here, sign up in the foyer, there's a sheet on the foyer, put your name down, how many people you think might come with you, and if you feel that way inclined, put your name down and the pudding that you'd like to come. If you don't recognise that, you think there's no way there'll be that served on Saturday the 22nd, just bring it. Bring it yourself. So don't forget, don't just bring a friend. Thank you.
Thank you, Ben. So two kings and four friends are learning about bowing to God and God only, okay? Nebuchadnezzar, he's learned that actually he tried to destroy the three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but God's the one who rescued. God is a rescuer and a savior. He performs miraculous wonders in heaven and on earth. I'm going to talk to you then about another rescue. This is a very well-known rescue. It's a rescue about... not a pit full of fire, but a pit full of lions. Okay? That lion looks almost nice, doesn't it? That looks a little bit nastier. They say that a lion's roar can be heard for up to 5 miles away. Okay? Can you imagine being right next to one as it roared? They say that a lion's swoop of its paw can knock a zebra flat off its legs. One paw, one swish. A lion, for short spells, not a fast runner, but can run for 30 miles an hour at short spells. That's faster than most of us could move. And a lion, boys and girls, likes to eat. Anybody know what a carnivore is? Likes to eat? Likes to eat children. I think a carnivore means likes to eat meat, I think. But you know what? If there's no zebras around, human beings will do. Okay? Can you imagine being locked in a room or a pit with more than just one of them? And the pit being closed, and the idea that the only ones who survive the next 10 minutes is the lions. Imagine. So I told you we're going to learn about two kings. This king is a different king. It's not Nebuchadnezzar. This king is called Darius. And he is not quite as important as Nebuchadnezzar. He follows Nebuchadnezzar. He's sort of a little bit smaller. His kingdom's a little bit smaller, but he's still the most important king in the world at the time. And he becomes king when Daniel's already there. Daniel and his three friends, okay? And the king has to make an appointment. He has to put people in places of power. It's a bit like the school choosing people for school council, okay? Who's going to look after, who's going to be in the school council this year? And people vote and want to. Hands up if you're on school council now. Brilliant. Hands up if you've ever been on school council. That applies to adults as well. Well done. Thank you. Well, Darius had a look around all the important people of the kingdom and he picks out Daniel. He likes Daniel. Okay. Daniel's clever. He's handsome. He's smart. And he's good at what he does. So he picks Daniel and he puts Daniel in charge of all sorts of people for all sorts of jobs. Now then, when I was at school, if one of my friends got put on school council, some of my friends were jealous. And they didn't like it. And they gruffed a bit and they humped a bit and they tried to be nasty a little bit. Well, something like that was going on in Daniel's day. When Daniel was given this big position, the people around him, they didn't like it. And they wanted to get Daniel in trouble. But you know what? He was so good at what he did, they couldn't. He wasn't bad at his job in any way. And he wasn't nasty to people in any way. He was a good man who was good at his job. So they thought, let's get him in trouble. The only way we'll get him in trouble is if we get him in trouble, something to do with how he worships his God. So they come up with a plan. You probably know the plan. They go to King Darius. Darius, you are a brilliant king. Let's make a rule for 30 days. That anybody in the kingdom, when they pray, they must pray only to you. Great idea, says Darius. What was he thinking? So they make this law. Anybody who prays in the kingdom must pray only to King Darius. And if you don't pray to King Darius, you pray to somebody else, pit of lions for you. That's the idea. Wow. The message goes out. There's a new law made. Daniel hears the message. And do you know what? A bit like Daniel's three friends. Three friends weren't going to bow down to the statue. Daniel's not going to pray to King Darius. Darius can't answer his prayers. No human being can answer prayers. Only God can do that. Daniel knew that. The people who made the law knew that Daniel thought that. And so Daniel did what he always did. We're told in the Bible that Daniel prayed three times a day. Okay. Very busy man. He prays three times a day. And it seems that he prayed near an open window. And it seems that he prayed so that in an open window, people could see him and probably hear him as well. That's what they were counting on. They could see him and hear him. And they heard him and they saw him pray. And they went to tell the king, just like it happened with his three friends. Darius! Didn't we make a law about not praying to anybody else other than you? Yes, we did make a law, says the king. Well, there's somebody who's not praying to you. Who is it? It's Daniel. In the first story about the pit of fire, Nebuchadnezzar was mad. But in this story, King Darius is really sad because he really likes Daniel. And he can't believe he's been tricked. And so he spends, the rule is that Daniel has to be in the pit of lions by tea time. Okay? So he spends the rest of his day, he's the king, the most powerful man in the world, he spends the rest of his day trying to get Daniel out of trouble. And he can't rescue Daniel. So it gets to the end of the day, and the men throw him in the pit of lions, and they close the pit off. And the king Darius, who's really sad, shouts to Daniel and says, "May your king, the God whom you serve, rescue you." Because the king can't do a thing. The king goes off to his bedroom. He doesn't eat, doesn't sleep, can't relax. It's one of those terrible nights. And as soon as he can get up in the morning, he gets up and he rushes to the pit of lions. He says, Daniel, has your God saved you? And Daniel says this, "An angel of God came and closed the lions' mouths. They have not harmed me, just like I've not done any harm to you." Well, the king was delighted. Got him out. There wasn't a scratch on Daniel. Okay? Some of you have cats, and you've got the scratches to prove it. Some of you have mice or guinea pigs. You've got the scratches to prove it. He's in a pit of lions all night, and there's not one scratch. I was looking at some children's Bibles for pictures of what this might have looked like, and somehow we've got this idea of Daniel stroking a lion like a kitten. I'm not really sure that happened. That might have happened, but some artists have had a go. And that second one's my favourite. He turns his back on the beast that would kill him. Okay, that idea. I wonder whether something like that, it looked more like that. See, he's a saviour and a rescuer. When Darius the king got Daniel out of the pit of lions, he declared, if we can have a look at the memory verse again, Philip, if we can. He declared, this is when he said it, he said, "Your God is a saviour and a rescuer. He performs astonishing miracles in heaven and on earth." In other words, he's saying, "Your God is bigger than me. I tried to rescue you, I couldn't, but your God really rescued you. You were in the pit and nothing's wrong with you. How great must your God be?" And so he makes a declaration for the whole kingdom to respect and honour Daniel's God. Darius learned that only God can be prayed to, loved and served. And Daniel showed that only God can be prayed to, loved and served. He is the rescuer. He and he only is the worthy one. Boys and girls, it wasn't just the king who had to learn who to bow to, Nebuchadnezzar or Darius. It wasn't just the four friends who learned that they could only worship or pray to God. Do you know what? You don't have to be on a throne to think you're really important. We think, left to ourselves, without God in our lives, we think that we're really important. And God tells us stories like this and shows us what he's like so we realize that actually he's more important than we are. And there are lots, just like Daniel's and his friends, just like the kings, that lots of gods around. There are lots of things that we can love, lots of things we can chase after, lots of things we can live for. But actually only God is worthy to be lived for. God is worthy to be prayed to, loved and served. Only God. And one day, God wanted to remind Nebuchadnezzar of this. I'm going to play a little game, just for a few moments, okay? Letter comes on the screen. You can shout out words that begin with that letter, okay? Okay, let me start again. There's a letter on the screen. It's the letter S. You can shout out words that begin with that letter. After two. One, two. Go. Brilliant. Okay, you got the idea, okay? Next letter. You're mumbling, you're not shouting. Or else you've decided to talk to your friend, which doesn't count. Pancakes, thank you, well done. Parachute, well done. Very good, you get the idea. Now then, here's the trick. The next letter that comes on the screen, you have to guess what it is, then tell me a word that belongs to it. And if you get it wrong, I'm going to chop your head off. Who wants to play that game? Anybody want to play that game? That would be a scary game to play if I was playing for real, wouldn't it? Eh? You know I wouldn't chop your head off. I hope you know I wouldn't chop your head off. Okay. But one day, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. Do you remember? Daniel's got a special gift. He can understand dreams. And Nebuchadnezzar calls all his wise men together. And he said, I've had a dream, and it's been a really bad, some dreams are lovely to have, you don't want to wake up from, you know, you want to stay in bed and keep having, some dreams scare, this dream scared him, okay? And he knew it meant something, but he didn't know what it meant. So he called all his wise men in, and he said, I've just had a dream, I want you to tell me what it means. Brilliant, they say. You tell us what the dream was, and we'll tell you what it means. No, says the king. You tell me what it was, and then you tell me what it means. And if you don't, I'm going to pull down your house and I'm going to kill you. But if you do, I'll reward you. I'll give you lots and lots of money and lots of treasures. This is not a game. They know when the king says, I'm going to pull down your house and kill you, he means it. And they look at each other and think, we can't do that. And they say to him, no king has ever asked people like us anything like that. We can't do that. Right then, going to knock your houses down. Going to kill you all. And they say, king, and they ask another time, just tell us what the dream was. We'll tell you what. No, you tell me what it was and tell me what it means. We can't. So the king gives a command to his army, knock down all the houses and go and kill the men. News of the command comes to Daniel. The man comes in to take Daniel to kill him. And the Bible says that Daniel spoke wisely to him. Do you remember? It's clever. He spoke wisely to him. And he managed to get an appointment with the king. And he says, tell the king that I will explain the dream to him. So he gets his friends to pray, and he prays, and they pray that God would give him the dream and understand it. And God does. And so Daniel goes before the king. Now, I want someone who's big, tall, and strong. Joseph, your hands first. Come on, good lad. Here's our big, tall, and strong. Okay, up you come. When you stand up here, okay? In the dream, there was a statue. And Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. Again, this is what Daniel said. Daniel said to Nebuchadnezzar, I don't know this. God's told me this so I can tell you. This is what your dream was. You dreamt there was a statue, tall, gold head, silver shoulders and arms, bronze middle, iron legs, and feet of iron and clay. Okay? And then a stone, not made by human hands, comes and hits this part of the statue. Statue crumbles, disappears. But the stone that's come and hit the foot grows, grows, grows. Not a stone now, it's the size of a mountain, but it keeps going and it fills the whole earth. And Nebuchadnezzar is amazed. That was the dream. And Daniel says, this is what it means. There are different kings and kingdoms. You, Nebuchadnezzar, are the biggest and the best. You're the head of gold. And after you will come another kingdom, silver. And after that will come another kingdom, bronze. They're smaller and less important. And then after that one will come a kingdom that's made of iron. It's strong. It will crush all the other kingdoms. It will rule over them with strength. But also its weakness, its iron and clay, is mixed. And during that time, something will happen that will set up another kingdom. Not from a human being, from heaven will come the start of another kingdom. And it will hit at this time, and it will go bigger, 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 so much bigger than any other kingdom, or fill the whole earth. So Nebuchadnezzar, you're the head, and other kingdoms will follow after you, but one day there'll be a kingdom that's bigger than you, way bigger than you, much bigger than you. The biggest kingdom in all the world. Thank you, Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Thank you. And Nebuchadnezzar rewarded Daniel. Do you remember what he said? He promised to punish those who couldn't do it and reward those. He rewarded Daniel, and he didn't punish anybody else. That was Nebuchadnezzar's dream. But then a few years later, Daniel had a dream. And it was a dream of a throne. And on the throne, it was a throne not in a palace, but in heaven. And he could see God on the throne. And somebody, a human being, came to heaven. And the king in heaven, God on the throne, gave the human being a job. Now then, in schools, you're given all sorts of jobs, aren't you? Has anybody been the pencil monitor? Hands up, you've ever been the pencil monitor? No. I must ask the question because I know there'll be one. Our Daniel used to be a very proud father. He used to be a pencil monitor. He had to sharpen the pencils. Okay. What other sort of jobs do you have at school that teacher gives you out? What sort of jobs do you have, Joseph? Book monitor. Yeah. Thank you. I can't hear you. Speak up. Dojo dealer. Is that an official job? Does a teacher give you that one? Okay, brilliant. Anybody know, adults, anybody know what a dojo dealer is? No? Okay, you tell us later on, Gabriel. Okay, we're utterly confused. You do it. Somebody fills a teacher's water bottle in the morning. That doesn't sound like education, does it? That sounds like slave labor. What's going on there? Great. All sorts of jobs. Okay, the teacher gives out. Now then. How about, instead of the teacher saying, I want you to look after the books in this class, they say, I want you to look after the books in the whole school. In fact, I want you to be the book monitor for all the primary schools in Southport. Okay? In fact, actually, you're so good at what you do, you're going to become the head teacher of this school. Not just this school, all the schools in Southport. There's 18 primary schools in Southport. You're going to be a head teacher. Okay? No, that's not going to happen. Okay? But when this man came to the throne in heaven and God on it, God gave him a job. And it was to look after everything, everywhere, forever. Okay? And there's a picture, both those dreams, Daniel's dream and Nebuchadnezzar's dream, it's a picture of Jesus. Jesus came to God after he rose from the dead, victorious over sin, death and hell. And God gave him the job to look after everything, everywhere, forever. Okay? And there's a little title that's given to Jesus at that point, and the title is Son of Man. Okay? Son of Man is going to look after everything, everywhere, forever. And Jesus uses that title for himself. He says, I'm the Son of Man. That's me. Okay? And this, Joseph, do you remember this dream? Up here, different kingdoms, and the stone comes from heaven. Well, the stone that comes from heaven comes small, it hits a kingdom. Grows and grows and grows and grows and grows and becomes the biggest kingdom in the world, fills the whole world. Well, that's the kingdom of people who follow Jesus. Jesus is the king, it's his kingdom, it grows and grows and grows. The different kingdoms, Babylonia, Medes and Persians, the Greeks, the Romans. During the Romans, Jesus came, changed the world. Okay, that's the idea. In other words, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, Daniel had a dream, and both dreams match. Only God, through Jesus, is worthy of all our worship. There is nobody, boys and girls, grown-ups, there is nobody in the universe who is greater or better than God, who rules the world through Jesus Christ. Daniel and his three friends, two kings, they learned what it was to bow down and worship the right, the real, the true God. And they learned it in different ways. And you can learn it, boys and girls, as you listen to your mums and dads, as you listen to the Bible stories, as you go to junior church, as you come to services like this. You can learn and learn and learn that actually your heart for all of your life needs to bow and worship Jesus and only Jesus Christ. Jesus does something really special. He died to save us, to forgive us for loving other things more than him, and to show us that only he is worthy. Only he is brilliant. Okay? And when we see that and understand that and love that and follow him, we become part of his kingdom. It's growing and growing and growing and growing to fill the whole earth. He is a savior and rescuer. He performs astonishing miracles in heaven and on earth. Now, you've been very patient for that last bit. Thank you, boys and girls. Grown-ups, it's not a message for the children. It's not a message for the children. Daniel was during the lion's den. He's probably in his 80s when he had the dream about the Son of Man being given authority over all the universe. He was probably in his 50s. This is a message for adults, that we would know that only God is worthy of worship. And we're forgiven by Jesus and brought into that relationship through him. And we can ask Jesus to forgive us. We can ask him to become our Lord. We can ask him to become the God who is our all in all, the one we worship. What a privilege that is. You could do that today. You talk to your mums and dads about wanting to follow Jesus and only Jesus Christ. So let me pray and then we'll sing together. Father in heaven, we've been learning today from the Bible stories of you rescuing your people to show that only you are worthy, only you are big and wise and good. We thank you for these stories. Would you search our hearts and help us to rejoice in the God who saves, the God who is a savior, who is a rescuer. We thank you for the stories of Daniel and his three friends, for Darius and Nebuchadnezzar, the lessons they learned. Would you help us to learn those lessons too, we ask. Amen.